go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask for your help, Lord, as we open up your word, that you would help us hear from heaven this morning, that you would lead us into your truth. Lord, that you'd help us be faithful to you. Give us wisdom, Father. Lord, again, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May He be glorified in us and receive the honor and glory that's due to His holy name. This morning I want to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to speak about the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist. Jesus warned us about it. The apostles spoke about it. And I believe we're in the time of it. The book of Revelation talks a lot about it. About a beast. About a usurper that's going to reveal himself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Here Paul is talking about the day of the Lord. Someone had convinced these people, and I've met people today that still believe that the Lord has already come and that all of this has already happened. But Paul was trying to assure the brethren that not to be troubled, that Christ had not come yet, they hadn't missed it. But the day of the Lord is at hand. It's now. Let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A falling away, an apostasy. I don't know when you want to mark this. It's pretty easy today to see that there's been a falling away, even in my lifetime. Things happen so quickly today that we don't even hardly give a thought of some of the things that used to be. Satan keeps things moving quickly. He keeps us occupied. He keeps our minds busy with new things, new ideas. And so things change continually, and things change so fast that sometimes we don't even remember. I remember growing up, and we drove down where my grandparents lived, and as we drove down through that road the other day, I remember where all the old people lived, and I remember the old grandmas that used to live on that street. And they were what you think of, or what people used to think of, as a grandma. Even in the world, they always had a long dress on, and they always had an apron on. And they were quick to scold the young ladies whenever they got out of order, whenever they were acting like boys or acting foolishly. And they were quick to get after. Everybody feared Grandma, because she'd get after them. And today, grandmas are just as likely to be all tattooed up with earrings and toes and fingers painted all up, wearing the sleaziest thing that they can put on. And it's just thought common. There's a falling away, but it's been happening for a long time. Falling away is whenever the church falls away from what God wants it to be. A backsliding, a departing from, an apostasy from what it was supposed to be. And we can see the outward things that have fallen. And we can see all around us that things aren't the way they're supposed to be. People professing themselves to be Christians, whenever they completely ignore the teachings of Christ. People professing to be godly and they completely ignore everything that's godly. We can see that kind of a falling away. But there's a spiritual falling away that God is trying to warn us of. The Bible says that there'll be many that they'll come in wolves in sheep's clothing. We're so caught up sometimes with the people that are absolute wolves claiming to be Christians. People that look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world, but still say they're Christians. There shouldn't even be a question about that. But the problem is today is there's people that are even still looking and acting and talking, but yet they're wolves inside. There's people who are acting like Christians and walking like Christians and talking like Christians, putting on a very nice attitude, but they're still ravening wolves because they have the spirit of the Antichrist. That spirit transcends. It goes from one end of religion to the other. People from the plainest background to the worldliest background have the same spirit. And it's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's the spirit that they all have. And it's of the world. There's a falling away. There's a falling away from the true Spirit of God to the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what he's talking about here. We all see and can see the divide, the separation between people who just say they're Christians. But it gets pretty murky sometimes whenever you're in a group of people that look like Christians and act like Christians and talk like Christians. But whenever you listen to what they're saying the exact same thing that the most worldly person among us is saying. The most worldly person, most wicked person in the world, they all have the same spirit. It's the spirit of Antichrist. This spirit is being revealed right in front of our eyes. Who opposeth, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Many times we can see people that I've just seen pictures of people, and I've seen people that they claim that they have God's Spirit, and they just have a rapturous look on their face whenever they're worshiping God. And it's obvious by the way they act and live that they're not of God. But they're still saying that God has filled them with their Spirit, or they have the Spirit of God. But yet they deny everything that God, that is about God. We can see that. We can see that. And it's pretty clear to see sometimes. But then it's pretty murky when we see someone who has the appearance of godliness, but yet they still have the same Spirit. Whenever I was growing up, I was always taught that the Antichrist was going to be someone who went into Jerusalem and they was going to rebuild the temple, and all this stuff had to happen, and then this Antichrist was going to walk into the temple. And I had the thought that this Antichrist would come in all full of looking like a king and just declare, "No more God, no more Christ, I am the king." An Antichrist, that everything he would say would be against Christ. And everything that he would do, he would just be denouncing Christ and everything that he does. And then he is going to make everybody take a mark and just put their stamp and his name on their hand or their forehead. And people are looking for this to happen. People think the Muslims are going to be the Antichrist. They're going to take over Jerusalem. Or people think the Catholic Church is going to be the Antichrist, and the Pope's going to go into Jerusalem and declare himself God. People are waiting for this. They're watching for it. And they're keeping an eye on all of that and being filled with the Antichrist themselves. And they don't even know it. Satan offers a little appearance, and he gets everybody stirred up about some little idea or some thought, and everybody goes running after that. And then he comes in the back door and he has them while they're still looking for him. They're running around on a witch hunt looking for Satan. And he's the one whispering in their ear, telling them where to look. That's what's happening. That's the spirit of Antichrist. I always thought that this was going to be something that God would go into the temple, or this Antichrist would go into the temple and declare himself God, being against Christ. But the Bible says that you are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. So if Satan would come into a body and declare that he was God, and we believed it, that scripture is fulfilled right in front of us every day with people who don't have the Spirit of Christ, but they have the spirit of Antichrist, declaring that he is God, sitting in the temple so that as he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, manifesting himself. Here I am. Here I am. People wonder and say about the Spirit. There was a man, a well-respected preacher, that used to declare and used to say that the Holy Spirit is self-announcing. And everybody bought it. Everybody buys it. That when the Holy Spirit comes in, He makes Himself known to everyone. You just know you're filled with the Spirit. There's millions of people that know that they're filled with the Spirit because God has revealed themselves to him that way, them that way. They know that they've been filled with God's Spirit because they just know it's God. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes, He will not speak of Himself. The Holy Spirit is transparent. You don't see the Holy Spirit. Whenever He moves, you can see the things. The wind blows and you can hear it and you can see where it's been and where it's going. Or you can see what it's doing, but you can't tell where it came from, nor can you tell where it's going. That's what Jesus talked about being born again. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going. We can't see it. But it shakes the leaves when it goes by. And it makes a little noise and it moves the trees. But the Holy Spirit, you can see what He does. But you don't know where He is or when He is. He doesn't announce to you, I am God. And all these people that God is manifest to and He's announcing Himself to them, that's not from God. That's the spirit of Antichrist. He sitteth in the temple of God, showing Himself that He is God. God speaks in a still, small voice, trying to guide us into truth. He doesn't ring a bunch of bells when He comes in the door. He doesn't make a bunch of attention. Now you have me. Here I am. There's a lot of people being deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist. We're told about everywhere we go, especially in the plainer circles, about being born again. Well, I'm going to tell you, being born again is real. You are completely changed because you repent and get on a different road. Not because you have an experience. Not because you feel God now where you didn't before. Faith, whenever you have faith, a lot of times you don't know where God is. You wonder where God is whenever you have faith. Because you've got to walk not by what you see or feel, but what you know is right. You follow the Spirit of God. You don't follow how nice it feels or how much peace you have or much joy you have. If you're looking after and seeking for those things, you're going to miss the Spirit of God. The Antichrist wants you to feel comfortable and happy in this world. Shake off those things. Walk by faith. Jesus offers a cross and death and suffering and pain and sorrow. And as you walk that way, there will be a secret inner peace and a secret joy that keeps you going. But if you're looking for just making your life comfortable, you're looking after the spirit of Antichrist and not of the Christ. Christ came into this world. He was opposed. He was hated. He was despised. He was rejected. They didn't know who He was after He had even created the world. He came into the church and the church received Him not. How many churches could Jesus even speak in today if He came into this world? The the evangelical churches wouldn't have him because he would tell them to do what's right and to listen to him, but they wouldn't listen to him. The plain churches wouldn't let him speak because he didn't wear the right hat or didn't have the right suspenders or didn't wear the right colored socks. He couldn't even speak in those groups. Might have to have his mustache shaved off or his beard shaved off in some places before he could even be a part of the church. It's his church that he's coming back for. Not yours. He's coming back for His people. Those who hear His voice. Not the voice of the Antichrist. Anything that is not for Christ is Antichrist. Any place where Christ is not welcome is Antichrist. When you start building up walls to keep people out, because you're trying to maintain some level of purity, you're leaving Christ out. When you start building up walls because you're trying to keep control, you're leaving Christ out. Whatsoever you do to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Whenever you put up a wall that's going to separate someone, if that someone happens to be seeking and have the Spirit of Christ, you've just separated yourself from Christ. People think whenever they excommunicate someone that's a believer because they disobey one of their rules, they think they're separating them from the kingdom of God, when they've just separated themselves. That's why we're slow to excommunicate someone. Unless there is just clear evidence of sin in their life, or clear evidence that they're not doing what God wants them to do. Clear evidence of sowing discord or trying to tear up things. Unless there's clear evidence that they're not with God. If we excommunicate someone who is a brother, we're excommunicating Christ. And I don't want anything to do with that. He has a rule. He has a standard. He has a guide to follow, to put into practice. And we can see who is in the kingdom of God. We can see who is abiding by those things. We might not know their heart, but until those things are manifested, we have no business of just going on our hunch that things aren't right. Deuteronomy says that whenever you bring up a charge against a man, if you make an accusation against a man and it's false, you know, in the Bible, whenever someone maybe swore and the penalty was death, and you didn't like somebody and you thought, I'm just going to tell the judge that that man swore and I heard it, and that way he'll get put to death. Well, if it was found out that you just made all this up and you was just bringing a charge, a false accusation, bearing a false witness against someone that wasn't true, whatever the judgment would have been for that man will be for you. If you bring up an accusation against a brother and you want him excommunicated, if that accusation proves to be false, you've just excommunicated yourself. That's the spirit of Antichrist, because it hates Christ. You're not going to be able just to build a form and make it all look that way, and look it all right, make it all look like it's Christian. You box Christ out of all of that. The Spirit of Christ is alive and real today. It's real. And it cuts through the spirit of the world just like a ship parts the waters. It's real. You may not always be able to see it, but there's a difference. Being born again is a real thing. It's not just something I imagine that happened to me. It's not just an experience. Whenever you choose to walk and follow Christ and take up His Spirit, walk in the truth, there's no greater divide. You may be able to think that you can dress this way or live on a mountain somewhere or just keep every law that you can imagine and seem to be separated from the world. But that is nothing compared to the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the world and the Antichrist. Nothing. The difference between the plainest Amish and the worldliest, hippiest Christian is nothing compared to the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist. Those divisions are nothing compared to the division of God and Satan. Black and white. We get all confused and our minds get all befuddled. And we can't see things clearly sometimes. And it looks a little blurry, but keep on walking in the truth. Just keep on walking. I believe that Jesus said that will there be faith when I return? Because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. I see that danger. I see that in myself. Of just this. Because of iniquity abounding and Satan's power and pressure just coming in constantly and constantly upon us. I see myself weaker and weaker and weaker and more at risk day by day. There's times I wished whenever I was 30 years old that I'd have got killed, someone would have shot me or killed me standing on the street somewhere. I would have gladly died for the Lord. Gladly. And I realized that it's much harder to live for Christ than it is to die for Him. To live right in this world and press on with all the pressures of the Antichrist all around us. The battle is real. Just amazes me sometimes how people have grown up in supposed Christian homes all of their life. And they get to be 25 or 30 years old, then they realize some truth comes to them. And they have to make a choice. It all comes down to one choice. Whether this is real or whether I can just go on in my religion. It's real. And you have to make that choice. I've been in churches where people who had been upstanding people in Christian strong Mennonite churches hear a message about a total commitment to Christ, a total surrender to the Lord. And everyone looked up to them as a leader. But he was honest enough one time just to say, that message scares me to death. Because I don't know that I've ever got to that. I'm going to have to make a choice of whether I'm going to give myself completely to Christ or not. Whether I'm going to pay the price and follow Him or not. The sad thing is, you can make half of that choice and then appear a lot more spiritual to everyone else, but then not go all the way. I don't know how many people I've talked to in my life that have become Christians after I've preached to them. A lot of them. I remember when I worked at the milk plant. I worked back in the back part of a factory, but I could see the front door. Whenever I first started following the Lord, I'd stand and pass out tracts whenever the new shift had come in. And I'd wait and I'd see someone just sitting out there waiting for a ride, and I'd go out and talk to them. They all thought I was crazy then. I even got called into the office. After I left the milk plant, 2 or 3 years later, I met some of the men there. And they said, "You wouldn't believe that place now." Up in the break room, instead of telling their jokes and cursing and swearing, they're all in there studying the Bible. They all got saved. Do you know what? We still don't get along. I've tried to talk to some of these men. They've left their jobs and gone and done a Christian camp somewhere, or done all kinds of things like this. They were Catholics. They were every type of religion, but now they're all saved. They've all been born again. But I start talking to them about following Jesus. They don't even know what I'm saying. They get upset still, just like they always did. Heard people all over whenever I was knocking on doors. "Oh yeah, my husband, he got saved right before he died after you came and visited." Heard all kinds of stories like that. We open a little bit of light and they get concerned, but there still has to be a choice made. Whether it's going to be about you being saved, or whether it's going to be about you following the Christ. Being filled with His Spirit. Being truly born again. Forsaking this world. Forsaking this structure of this world and its religions. And following the Christ. Being despised and rejected. It's amazing how religious people get. Whenever they get a little bit of awakened. But it's more than just being awakened one time. It's about taking up your cross and following Him. Verse 5. "Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that He might be revealed in His time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." This Spirit is working. This Spirit is alive and getting more powerful every day. The Spirit of Antichrist is getting more powerful every day. I see it almost as a vacuum. Where God is, Satan can't be. And where Satan is, God won't be. And the more power Satan gets in the world, the less God will be. The more powerful And the bigger the presence that Satan has in the world, the less there will be of God. When this Antichrist gets more and more powerful, God withdraws Himself little by little. That's why I think it goes with in Sodom, and Abraham came up and said, if there's just 50 righteous men, I'll save it. And he went with his argument all the way down to 10. And God said, yes, if you can find 10 righteous people, I'll save it. And he couldn't. And he destroyed it with fire and brimstone from heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If that salt loses its savor, the world is good for nothing but to be trodden under the feet of men. When the light goes out or gets hidden under a bushel, darkness reigns. We're heading for a time. The Bible talks about the darkness that's coming upon the world. That even light can't shine through that darkness. That's where we're headed. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Once it gets so dark, Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. Lift up your eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help. Christ is returning. The battle's hard and long, but the Lord is returning. Look for our King. Watch and wait. Be wary. Satan comes tempting, teasing, enticing, trying to lull us to sleep, trying to make you feel comfortable where you're at. The wicked will be revealed. In verse 9 it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's just doing all kinds of wonderful things. All kinds of miracles. All kinds of signs and lying wonders. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Love the truth. Love whatever it takes to get you out of this world and out of the spirit of Antichrist. Love the truth. The truth will set you free. Because they receive not the love of the truth. I don't know how many people we've talked to that saw the truth. Their eyes were opened and they could see it right in front of their face. And instead of running to it and clinging to it because of the fear of men or because some other thing, they decided they'd do like Balaam. Boy, he wanted that money that the man was going to give him for prophesying and condemning Israel. But he said, I won't go against the Lord. So He sent more men, more noble, with more treasure. Just curse these people. Just curse them. No, I won't do it. I won't do it. I can't. I've got to just tell you what the Lord said. But He wanted that. He wanted their blessings. He wanted the blessings that Baal offered. Finally, He found a way that He could compromise. He said, I won't curse them. I won't curse them myself, but I'll tell you a little secret. You entice them into sin, and they'll curse you. They'll curse Him. They'll curse Him, and then God will curse. You entice them into sin, and God will curse them. I don't have to curse them. He found a way to get what He wanted. But whenever they were destroyed, Balaam died with them. He died with them. He saw the truth. It was right in front of his face. But he didn't love it. He didn't love it. We choose the cross and let the consequences fall where they will. If you try to mess with the consequences, you're not choosing the cross. We trust the Lord to have control of all of those things. And with they'd received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Here's the most fearful thing in the Bible. Because they loved not the truth that they would be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God is our only help. He is our only hope. He is truth. He is our only escape from hell. And when He quits trying to rescue us, when He says, you don't want my truth, believe a lie. It's over. It's done. The lights go out and you walk in darkness. I used to believe this lie was some crazy thing that someone would just believe, some wild out false religion. I am convinced that the lie is that you're saved. That you've been born again. That you will be okay. That God will make some... He's just going to save you because He just loves you. God Himself gives you a false hope that you will be saved. And if God's deceiving you, how are you going to overcome that? Don't mess with His truth. Don't mess with the cross that He lays in front of you. Spirit of the Antichrist will make you feel comfortable, will make you feel safe, will make you feel secure. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's easy for us to see, well, yeah, that's the way the world is. They're just going to love the world, going to have a good time. Pretty easy for us to see that. But it's much, much bigger than that. People resting because they're playing. People resting because they were born again. Instead of taking up the cross and getting with the Spirit of God and following Him. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which we have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God's purpose for mankind is that we would walk in the truth. He's chosen that from the beginning to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, setting apart to the Spirit of God, opposed to the spirit of the Antichrist. Not just setting aside or just being different, trying to be different. We are different when we're in the Spirit of God. Stand fast and hold the traditions. I was talking this week. Stand fast reminds me of Ephesians, where it says that when you've done all that you can do, stand. Stand. You've been tempted and tried and tested, just keep standing. Talked about the armor of God. Some of the brethren were talking about it. It had the breastplate, and it had the shield and the sword and the helmet. All of the armor of God is for protection against fighting an enemy face to face. And we can withstand every dart of the devil that he slings at us when we're standing, clad with the armor of God on our bodies. One of the brethren brought out that the backside's open. When we're stand facing the enemy, we're protected. And you know, whenever you're looking the devil in the eye, his aim gets pretty poor. But you turn around and run, his aim is dead on. You can protect yourself against his wiles. But he works in darkness. When you turn around and run, there's no protection for a coward. And his aim gets perfect on the backside. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against the wiles of the Antichrist. People don't understand it. They don't understand it at all. They're deceived. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. We just praise the Lord when someone looks and a little light shines in and they begin to see. And they see it just as clear as day. And those who rise up and hate it and oppose it are in darkness. They're just pawns carrying out their master's deeds, spouting their religious words, studying their religious Bibles, you don't study your way into the truth. You walk in it. People think you can educate yourself into everything. There's a sign right over here that if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. On a church sign. Education brings more ignorance than anything there is into this world. A simpleton can hear Christ's words and walk in the light and walk in wisdom. You don't have to be educated to know God. You don't have to be educated to confound the wise. God uses those things. But you still got to walk in the light. There's a lot of ignorant people that aren't walking in the light. And there's a lot of educated people that aren't walking in the light. He that hears my voice, he that hath ears to hear and eyes to see. Sometimes I just wonder, why, Lord? I look at all the people. We go to these cities and we see thousands and thousands and thousands of people and nobody cares. Nobody cares. We go to churches and religions and all over. Nobody cares. And I think, why, Lord? Why did I see this? Why did your grace allow me to see this? To make this choice? I'm just amazed at that. That God would have mercy on a wretch like me. Not just to pretend that I was saved, but that He wouldn't let me rest and settle in something short of the truth. And I pray He never does. Let us pray for one another. We're in a dangerous time. Satan's disguises are getting better and better and better. He's been practicing for a long time how to deceive people. And he's getting better and better at it. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, thank You for Your goodness again and Your mercy. Help us, Lord, I pray. Lord, to be faithful to You. We would not despise the grace of God. Lord, but we would walk in it and walk in the light. Again, we just want to thank You. Fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, to do Your will. Lord, that Your light would shine in this world, Father. As best as it can, Father. Lord, that You would help us to be vessels. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone have anything?
verse 9, it says, "Coming in lawlessness, according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and mind wonders." And a few weeks ago, the Pope opened up the church basically to homosexuals. He said that if Greece was a homosexual, he would be judged. And then, I think it was just a day or so ago, I seen that a lady in Missouri had a car wreck, and they couldn't cut her out of the car. And it was at the time that they had to flip the car over, and she'd been locked in the car for 45 minutes. And she asked the people, the rescue workers, to pray with her. Well, all of a sudden, when she asked that, a Catholic priest, and they were surrounded by cornfields, it looked like, a Catholic priest walked out of the cornfield, anointed her with oil. The rescue worker that was explaining all this was saying that just a calm came over everybody. He said at that moment, he would know that his machine was going to work, I guess the Jaws of Life or whatever, cut her out of the car. And he said that all of a sudden, the Catholic priest just disappeared, and they got her out of the car and took her to the hospital. And they're saying it's a miracle, and that they believe it was an angel that came and helped her get out of the car. And it's like, it's the same thing that the Pentecostals do. It's like, if you ask the Pentecostals why they don't follow the Bible, they always try to perform some kind of sign, some kind of miracle, some kind of something, to where it's okay for you not to follow the Word of God because it's a miracle. I mean, do you understand what I'm... It's just... I mean, that's what they do. It's a miracle happens, and then the Bible doesn't mean what it says. Like, if you ask them why they have women teachers, they told me that if a man wasn't willing to rise up to this position, then God would put somebody in this place. And I mean, you know, you're looking and you're searching, and it seems like a legitimate answer, but it's not. I mean, Paul talks about in 15, "Therefore, brothers, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or by epistle." We either believe the Bible or we hold to the traditions, or we don't. And it doesn't matter what kind of sign or wonder happens, it's not from God if it goes against the Word of God. But I just thought that was kind of strange that all this is happening in the Catholic Church, and then all of a sudden something like this goes on the news, you know?
Then it's the other side. 10 years ago, I was told it differently. I'm still. The other day, it was a funeral, and it was pretty interesting. A few things that I encountered. It was a man, an Amishman that I saw that I used to know. I didn't know his name or wanted to meet him. So, he's standing over there with three other Mennonites. They were all different constituencies, the Amish and three different other Mennonites. And I walked over to him and just stood there. This one was really going for it, talking how we should preach together and we're all going to the same place. And he was a bishop in one Mennonite church. And after they slowed down, we were out there. We Mennonites are all one like that. Why don't we come together and have communion? I don't know what to say. I'm trying to start saying something else. You know, but they want to leave. His thought was that we should preach together and leave our differences and not say about anything, just comfort each other. Because we're all going to heaven. We're all going to the same place. We're all going to go to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know what to say on the thing.
Lord. All right. Anyone else?
We'll be heading back to Ohio this afternoon. I think Marilyn and myself will go on. I'll just drive. We ought to be getting home around 2 to 3, so it'll be a long drive. Just keep us in prayer.
Another thing that was kind of interesting, you talked about his grandma this morning. Sandy talked a lot about her grandma coming over to her house. It's time to have the dishes washed and you want to wash the family. It'd be a shame to not feed her with these dishes. Well, she learned to have those dishes done before grandma came. Then whenever Danny had a daughter washing dishes or doing something, her grandma came around and she just helped her. She didn't think self-wash dishes. I'm not sure how Danny's doing it now. But, you know, it's interesting what you said about the grandma back there. She was very quick to tell the grandchildren about weeds out there that need to be hoed or things that need to be done. But whenever the next generation, she didn't do that.
Yeah.
She would just couldn't do it for
her. Amen.
So there is a difference, I think. And we need to recognize some of those differences, how they are now compared to the way they were.
I think we're losing something. I mean, it's just, we've lost. We've got to relearn it.
I talked to Sandy Ray about that, how she does. I mean, she would assume that you just go and tell them, you know, instead of telling them that you should be ashamed about to be done already. It's time to be done way past time, you know, or whatever. But it's really hard to stand up and talk when you need to talk or say something when you need to say it. Just be bold for the Lord.
It's a real blessing to hear that idea that the Spirit doesn't announce itself and won't speak of himself, but he brings into remembrance all things that Christ taught. I just remember when I was seeking truth, it would have been in January. We had just gotten done with this evangelical Christian so-called conference deal, and we're all at this church where everyone's like confessing things they've done in their lives and their testimonies and how God changed them now and all these things. My friend's dad, he stands up and he starts apparently, you know, prophesying, telling people things, and I guess casting things out of people and revealing their sins and all these things. It was just afterwards everyone's like, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit was there, you know, it showed up. I mean, they were just so sure that the Holy Spirit was there and that was the Holy Spirit moving. And I think he even boasted about how, you know, the group we were with were Southern Baptists, and they're not really all spiritual flowy, and he's more like a Pentecostal kind of person. And so he was even, I think, boasting about that idea of, yeah, how the Spirit showed up and everyone was like nervous and stuff. And I just remember people were telling me that I needed to understand, you know, the Holy Spirit. And
not just an evangelical and talk with leaders of in the plain circles, they say the same thing. They exact same message. Just, you can't do this. You don't have, I mean, you can't do all this without the Spirit. They're looking for this manifestation that now you're going to be doing something like that.
On the other hand, if someone dies in adultery, they'll say, well, you know, you've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. They said they were saved.
Right. Right.
Faith. That's the thing to a child. If you're talking to a child Friday night, and he just told us he thinks the Holy Spirit is using him to try to teach us something.
Yeah.
Just been out there for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Trying to teach us something.
Yeah.
I heard a man was sort of scared of this message because he was afraid that there's not enough emphasis put on the Holy Spirit. And I just thought that the person who probably wants us to obey Jesus' commandments the most is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Another thought that I had about talking about this, Jesus always talked about the Father, promoted his Father. Our responsibility is to promote Jesus, talk about Jesus, not the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
There's significance there to see it. And we come to the Father through Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Let Jesus obey him.
Amen. All right. Well, all right. Lord bless you. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening.
Mercy God, always bless me. Yeah. Christ.